essentially the way it's going to work is we'll, in compliance with local and state shelter in place orders, we'll be doing this meeting on Zoom. If you have comments that you would like to submit to the RBRA, you can email them to chavel@marincounty.org. During the actual hearing itself, if you would like to speak on an item, if you go up to the right-hand corner of your screen, I believe, or where your profile is, there should be a raise hand option. And then the moderator, Beth Hainer, will go and unmute you so that you can provide verbal comments on, you know, when it's time for verbal comments. And Beth, is there anything you want to add since you're probably better practiced at the speech than I am?
No, sounds great. I'll just
okay. And one last comment, Curtis, is that if you're on a cell phone or a hand line, you can hit *9 on the keypad and you will be put in the queue to answer any questions. Yes. All right, welcome to the Board of Directors meeting of Thursday, September 10th at 5:30 p.m. for the RBRA. And at this point, I'd like to take roll call.
All right. Director Sears?
She's muted, but she's here.
Yes.
Yeah, and Beth, you need to leave the directors unmuted. We need to be able to control ourselves, so thanks for that.
That's my bad. Thanks, Beth. So, yeah, Director Sears? You're here. Director McAuliffe?
Here.
Director Kulik?
Here.
And Director Wickham?
Here.
All right. Everybody's present.
Okay, consent calendar, call to order and roll call. Consent agenda. The consent agenda reflects those agenda items with prior policy approval from the board and or administrative matters. Unless any item is specifically removed by a member of the board, staff, or public in attendance, the consent calendar will be adopted by a motion. So first, is there anyone from the board who would like to remove one of the consent items? Not hearing none. Is there anyone in the public who would like to remove a consent items? Basically, we have the approval of the minutes from June 11th and the approval of the updated professional service agreement. Anyone from the public?
I'd move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, roll call, please.
Director Kulik? Oops.
Beth, you need to unmute all the board members.
Was unmuted. I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Director McAuliffe?
Yes.
Director Sears?
Yes.
And Director Wickham?
Yes. Approved. Okay. Item number 3, information item, presentation on community efforts. Do we have anyone from in our audience who like to give us an update on what's going on?
No hands risen.
No hands at this point. Any board member have any community items of interest that you want to bring up? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go to item number 4, Richardson Bay Anchorage Transition Plan Progress Report. Staff recommendation, accept report. Okay, Curtis, you'd like to give us an update on the plan.
Yes, thank you. I'll be sharing screen here in just a moment. When we talked about community efforts, is that a good time to make announcements about general things going on around the community?
We can mention that down the reports, comments, item number 6.
Okay, thank you. All right. Let me share my screen here.
Well, Rebecca has her hand up.
Okay.
I've gotten messages from a couple of people that they're still stuck in a virtual waiting room and aren't able to get in.
Hmm.
So Curtis, if it goes into a personal room, you have to let him into the meeting.
Sorry for the disruption, just wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate it.
So Beth, I don't see where people are being held in a separate room. And I didn't set up a waiting room for this.
I am not sure if. I'm not certain. The only thing that I would say is what I brought up earlier about two separate Zoom invites. But
on the agenda, we only have one invite, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
And Rebecca, you're here. You're listening to us. Did you join us via that link on the agenda? You have to unmute yourself.
So when I tried joining via the link, it said the host has another meeting in progress. But when I went through Zoom and put the actual meeting ID and password, then it let me in.
And that's exactly the same issue I had when I hit the link. It said the host is at another meeting. Then I had to type, I went in via meeting ID and then passcode.
So I'll let the people that I'm in touch with know to do that, but I don't know.
Yes. We'll delay it. We'll wait 5 minutes. And anyone else, Rebecca, have used the meeting ID and the passcode that's provided on the agenda. Has anyone called in on the phone?
I have no phone calls coming in.
Okay.
I think David needs to be unmuted now.
Thanks. If you could just leave control of the mute over to me.
I think the problem is, David, when I put my own mute back on, then I couldn't unmute it again. It's a very strange system we got going here.
And one thing I noticed on the board packet that there are two Zoom links, and I think the one that was causing the problem was the top one that says via remote Zoom meeting. If that's the one that people in the room. If you go down to the one that's mid-page that says join Zoom meeting, that's the actual. Uh-huh. So, okay.
Is there two?
Past that, use the link in the middle of page one, not at the top of page one.
They are different. That's correct.
Ida J has their hand risen. May they speak?
Hold on. First, Rebecca, do you think your friends are on board here?
So I know that Casey Arndt is still trying to get in, the center director at Richardson Bay Audubon.
Okay.
I suggested that she put in the ID directly, but I don't see her on yet.
Okay.
Where can I find the pages for the agenda?
So that
should be on. Go ahead, Curtis.
That would be if you go to rbra.ca.gov, that will have the staff report and agenda on that site.
Thank you very much.
Yes, rbra.ca.gov is where the agenda is.
And you said to use the link in the middle of the page, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
So we have a grandchild here. Okay.
I know Casey Arndt has been able to join, so. She's
Okay, so do we feel comfortable we people have access to the meeting at this point, or we have some people? Good, Robbie. Okay, good. All right, so we're on item number 4, which is the Richardson Bay Anchorage Transition Plan Progress Report, and the update, what's going on. And at this point, Curtis is going to give us an update on the report. So Curtis, go ahead.
Great, thanks. I'm going to switch over to share screen here. Okay. So thank you. I'm going to give you a quick update tonight on what's happening with the transition plan, where we're at with the ongoing movement with that. So the transition plan has been distributed to all the eligible vessels in the Anchorage. And when I say that, what I mean is the vessels that were present in the Anchorage during the August 2019 vessel census that was performed by the Marin County Sheriff's Office. Packets were not distributed to boats, vessels that are arrived into the Anchorage after that date. Also, packets were not distributed to vessels that have already been identified as marine debris and are unoccupied marine debris. So that said, packets are widely available online at the Richardson Bay Regional Agency's website, which is rbra.ca.gov. And packets have also been consistently present at the showers and I believe lunches as well. So our partners or colleagues with the Downtown Streets team have been providing that information at the showers on Tuesdays and Fridays. There's really three primary focus areas of the transition plan, as you're aware. Transition plan was adopted back in June of 2011. And if we revisit the transition principles, they were, we were trying to be as transparent and as straightforward as possible with this stuff, which is why it's all in print, why it's online, why it's been distributed. Transition principle number 1, affirm Richardson's Bay as a temporary anchorage and prevent additional vessels from extended stays. Transition principle number 2, conditionally and discretionarily allow occupied legacy vessels that comply with RBRA's requirements to remain for a limited period of time. That's the safe and seaworthy program that we'll talk about a little bit later. Support initiatives for relocating occupants of vessels to alternative housing. Ultimately, realize a decreasing number of occupied vessels over time. And finally, protect and promote eelgrass habitat and growth. So that's been a pretty clear message throughout the entire process of adopting the transition plan. But it really boils down to these three primary kind of action points: the safe and seaworthy program, the outreach program, and the development of a habitat management plan. So as I mentioned, the safe and seaworthy program information packets have been distributed. So far to date, we have received 8 applications for enrollment into the Safe and Seaworthy program. What's going to happen next is for those vessels, everybody who's eligible has until October 15th, 2020 to get their enrollment applications in. On October 15th, 2020, what we'll do is we'll start setting up times and dates to go out to the Anchorage and actually start performing inspections on vessels. The first round of inspections is really designed to establish the starting mark. So if there is a deficiency, it will be identified, and then the folks who are participating in the program, the next big benchmark is going to be February 15th, 2021, and that's when the vessel needs to be properly registered with either the California DMV or the United States Coast Guard as a documented vessel. But, So assuming that the vessel gets registered, then the next big benchmark is in 2021, October of 2021, where that's, so participants in the Safe and Seaworthy program would have a full year to rectify any sort of deficiencies on that initial inspection. So when October 15th rolls around, there's going to be a lot going on. A big priority is to give due consideration and attention to the folks who have enrolled in the program and make sure we give their boats a good thorough inspection and try to identify what's deficient and then also notify them about the very limited pool of funding we have for minor repairs. Hopefully they'll be able to take advantage of that. I know Andrew Henning with our Downtown Streets team is looking for additional funding to throw into that pool to help people with vessel repairs and you know bringing their vessels into a more seaworthy state. So we're hoping for good things there. For vessels that are not enrolled in the Safe and Seaworthy program, per the transition plan and per the Safe and Seaworthy program, vessels that don't enroll are going to be subject to removal from Richardson's Bay Anchorage. So again, this is something that we've been transparent about. There's no secret agenda. This is what's been going on all along. That process is going to be, again, we're going to have to see how many folks actually enroll in the program. And then we'll have a better idea of how to prioritize managing the Anchorage from that point forward. But I can tell you now that it's going to be a combination of vessels that arrived in the Anchorage after the August 2019 census would be prioritized for removal, as well as probably the least seaworthy vessels, as those would be the vessels that really pose the greatest threat to the occupants on the vessel, occupants in nearby vessels around that boat, folks along the shoreline, and of course the environment if those vessels sink or if they break free during the storm. But overall, so far, we're making progress with the Safe and Seaworthy program. We've still got a month to go, and I am doing my best to communicate with folks in the Anchorage and give them opportunities to enroll in the program. I've received a few applications by mail. Other times I've actually gone out into the Anchorage and picked up applications when people have called me and asked me to come by. So either way is good. We will make ourselves available to come and pick up an application for sure. As far as the overall vessel count in the Anchorage, I thought I'd just real quickly mention right now we're at a count of about 128 vessels. I think in the staff report I said 126. Over the last couple of days, we had a vessel that was in Sausalito waters and moved over into RBRA waters. And I would like to mention here that the town of Sausalito, the city of Sausalito, called me and let me know what was going on. They did their best to prevent that from occurring. They had the vessel tagged with a 72-hour notice. And, I hold no ill will towards them. They were transparent and helpful in the matter. They did communicate clearly with me.
Curtis, so can I stop you for a second? You're providing a lot of information, but you're not showing us different slides. Is some of the information we're just still on the first slide. So at least on my, is that true for others?
No, actually, you know what? Here, I just got a text from someone saying the slides aren't advancing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm pushing forward, and so you're
okay. Not on mine. I just wanted to clarify maybe if there's a technical problem.
You're still looking at a beautiful picture of...
The picture is fabulous.
Okay, well, that's a good start. How about now? Is it working yet? Darn it. Okay. Let me try this. I'll just do it the old-fashioned way. I'll keep on. So I'm going to share screen again. And guess we'll do it like this. Can you see that now?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just going to roll you through it that way then. All right. So we were on this slide. So can you, are you looking at a graph now? Okay. All right. So this shows the general trend of where we've been going since July of 2019. So starting in July 2019, per the board of directors, a resolution that was adopted back in July of 2019, at that time there was priorities given to really adhering to the 72-hour limit for vessels arriving in Richardson's Bay, and also removal of unoccupied marine debris. So between July of 2019 and March of 2020, there were approximately 80 vessels removed from the bay. And these were unoccupied marine debris vessels. They were, in some cases, second or third vessels that belonged to folks who have multiple vessels out in the bay. And once the pandemic came on, there was a moment in time there. We stopped doing active abatement in March of 2020 when the shelter-in-place order dropped. We were still conducting patrols. We were still providing information to the anchorage. Vessels that arrived in the anchorage, we would give them either a 72-hour notice or a 10-day notice of marine debris, depending upon the condition of the vessel. During the pandemic, four vessels sunk. So, and that was just for no good reason. They just were not being maintained properly. So that those vessels were removed from the bay. And then there were actually two other vessels. There was one vessel that went adrift, and a member of the anchorage was towing it back across the bay. And myself, along with the assistant harbor master and a sergeant from the Belvedere Police Department, came alongside to see if the individual needed assistance, and he accepted assistance, and he actually said he was towing that vessel to the Army Corps of Engineers. So we continued the journey to the Army Corps, and that vessel was eventually disposed of after being posted with the notice of marine debris. And then there was one other vessel that was disposed of that was listing badly. It was at anchor. And again, there was I received message from an individual in the anchorage saying that that vessel is no longer used or wanted. So that was, we had posted that with a notice of marine debris and removed that vessel as well. There was a point during the pandemic, probably around, I guess it was maybe June, there was the numbers were trending downward, and it looked like the shelter in place order was going to be rolled back a bit. And we began to accordingly begin the process of resuming active abatement activities. So vessels that had already been tagged with notices of marine debris were tagged again. So we provided additional and ample notice to let folks know that we were going to get back underway. As you all know, the pandemic surged again, you know, during that, those early summer months. And, you know, again, we took our foot off the gas and back down on active abatement, but continued to do regular patrols out in the anchorage. So anyways, what you're seeing there in the overall graph there is that the numbers have been holding somewhat steady. There's been a slight uptick, and that's due to a number of vessels entering the anchorage during the pandemic that have yet to leave. So we'll keep on working on those. The next big area of the transition plan is outreach. So I'm happy to report that we have identified nearly 100% of the individuals of the anchorage. I say nearly 100% because I've been working with Andrew Henning and all of his partners from like Marin City Health and Wellness, St. Vincent's, Downtown Streets team, everybody else. And we try to get the service people out onto the water at least once a week and check in on folks. Since July of 2019, that was when I first started working with Mr. Henning, and the focus for that first period, you know, up until now, was identifying folks out in the Anchorage and really trying to identify what their needs were and you know, how people stood on the vulnerability index. To date, we've got three people that have successfully made it into the coordinated entry program. I just had a meeting with Mr. Henning and his colleagues today, and we're really going to be driving to get these folks into housing before the winter comes. All three are on vessels that are fairly severely compromised, and frankly, I'm concerned whether or not they're going to make it through the winter on these vessels. And I'd really rather not see somebody go down with the ship, especially if there is housing available for those folks. It's the housing process is challenging the more I learn about it. But I'm beginning to see the path forward, and I'm hoping that we'll have success with these first three and that more will follow. So moving on from there, we've got another 10 individuals that, we've been making an effort to reach out to and perform what's called the VISPDOT. And it's essentially the assessment that, this social service folks use to objectively evaluate, sort of where somebody lands on the coordinated entry program and how they get ranked in terms of acquiring housing. So we're currently doing that. So progress is being made. We accomplished identification of most folks out in the Anchorage. And I say nearly 100% just because things change. Some people leave, some people arrive. So we try to stay on top of that. But so that's that. Moving forward from there, the other big point of the transition plan is the development of the eelgrass management plan. So we have contracted with Rebecca Schwartz-Lesberg, and she has finished kind of the first stage of her efforts with us in terms of grant writing and preparing a general plan for the development of the eelgrass management plan. But essentially the way that we're going to be working through this, the creation of this plan, is to first begin discussions with stakeholders about how and where in Richardson's Bay we will be delineating boundaries and limitations. So the idea being there might be an area of the bay based on the data that we have available provided by Merkle and others that is just simply a no anchoring zone. And that's in efforts to preserve the ecological systems in that area. So that the first stage is to discuss that with the community, discuss that with the stakeholders. From there, begin to create and craft those areas. The specific term of art, as I've been informed, is marine spatial planning. So if anybody knows what that means, we'll be using marine spatial planning to delineate allowable uses in the bay. So where the anchorage, where vessels are allowed to anchor and where really vessels should stay away from to preserve and protect the environment. And then finally, after that outreach process, after those discussions, those results will be taken forward and used as the basis to help guide the creation of the, eelgrass protection measures. And ideally, at some point in the future, an amended nautical chart that is published by NOAA, adopted by the federal government, that shows clearly for all mariners where these zones are in Richardson's Bay. So that's looking down the road quite a bit. But ideally, it would be necessary to have that reflected on the nautical charts so that it's You know, much like right now, if you look on a nautical chart, it shows Richardson's Bay. It shows that it's a special anchorage, and then it also has a Code of Federal Regulations section that refers you to a section of code that says, you know, the Richardson's Bay Regional Agency has regulatory authority, and that you mariners arriving in the bay should check in with RBRA for the rules and regulations regarding anchoring in Richardson's Bay. So that's things in a nutshell. If you have any questions, I am happy to answer any questions or provide any clarification. Thanks. And I will end screen sharing. There we go.
So Kate, you want to go first?
No, I don't have any questions at this time. I appreciate the presentation, Curtis, and I thought the materials in the staff report were particularly helpful, so I hope that members of our public, or if they haven't yet, will have a chance.
Kate, will you pull your microphone?
Oh, sorry. You know, it helps if you use your microphone, doesn't it? Yeah, that makes a big difference. So, sorry about that. No, I appreciate the presentation, Curtis, and I thought the materials in the staff report packet were particularly helpful, and I hope that members of our public, if they haven't had a chance to read through those materials yet, will be sure to access them on the RBRA website.
Great. David, do you have any?
No, nothing to add. Kate captured it. Thank you, Curtis, for a good comprehensive presentation.
And Claire, do you have any questions?
You know, I got a message from Claire. It looks, she said her system died and she had to say goodbye. Hmm. So unfortunately she left us.
We still have a quorum here.
Yes.
So we'll keep on moving. Hopefully she can rejoin us. Curtis, a couple questions on the, the Anchorage Association had the Seaworthy program going on there. And I know you've identified, are those people kind of participating in the same program? Pretty much.
Are you referring to this, the Richardson's Bay?
The association, you know, how they, a lot of the guidelines that we established were followed by their recommendations and we added some stuff, but are those vessels they identified early on, are they participating with this application process?
No, that... The vessels that they, how can I say this? Their program unfortunately never really successfully got off the ground. So that unfortunately they, whatever vessels they had that they had hoped to enroll in the program, the Burgee program, that never got off the ground. And frankly, we adapted some of the Safe and Seaworthy program to utilize their ideas, to create a set of vessels and an anchorage that's a safer place to be where, people have operable vessels. God forbid if an anchor fails or an anchor road parts, they can save themselves So for those folks that were a part of that program, I would encourage them to enroll in the Safe and Seaworthy program. I hope they will.
You mentioned also you removed 80 vessels before the pandemic. Do you know the cost overall to do that?
It probably would have been between $350,000 and $400,000.
Okay. And on the three individuals who were involved in the program with Andrew, are they pretty receptive to it? I mean, are they supportive to the program, really want to move forward?
I would say that two of the three are, and then one is, I think, having a difficult time saying goodbye to the anchorage, and I think that I'm a little bit concerned that perhaps pressure is being applied to prevent them from leaving the anchorage. So what I mean by that is some of the conversations we've had have been up and down, and it seems like on one day we'll go by and speak with this person and they are excited about the program and they want to be a part of it. And then the next time we come by, they are reluctant to speak with us and afraid that if they go ashore, you know, bad things are going to happen and they're safer out in the water. So it's sort of a, you know,
okay,
trying to get through to them and let them know that this program is there for them to provide them with a safer, more secure living situation. Unfortunately, it's the message is getting distorted.
Okay. Finally, I'm glad to hear Rebecca is back in the ball game again on the eel grass. All right. Yeah. There's no more questions by the board members. I'd like to open this up to the public. This is public open time on topic number 4 on the agenda on the transition report. There is no, yeah. So you have, please raise your hand. Let Curtis know. You'll come in. You have 3 minutes to, address the issues. And Curtis, I'll give control over to you.
So we have Eva. Eva, I'm asking you to unmute, and you have 3 minutes. I'm not sure where she went. So Eva disappeared. There is a Rapkinson. After that will be the Richardson Bay Mariners and then Robbie. Radkinson, I'm asking you to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I would like to apologize. I sent an email late today. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get it to you prior to this time. I did address it to members of the board and Curtis Havel. And my name is Robert Atkinson. I'm a resident of Marin County. And I'm interested in the concerns that have been expressed and my concerns with the continued tolerance of derelict vessels that are occupying and polluting the bay. I won't read my email verbatim, but I think that a timeline should be adopted in the resolution to create some type of a sunset date that allows for both resettlement options for the occupants, but removal of the boats that are damaging the bay. I'm kind of a bit surprised that this is even taking place, and I would compare the tolerance to what would happen if folks decided to park abandoned and dilapidated and dangerous vehicles on the shoulders and the off-ramps of our freeways, 101. How long would it take Caltrans and the CHP to remove these folks from both causing harm to themselves and other folks, such as the people on the bay that are using it legally, the businesses along the shoreline, the homes along the shoreline. I'd also like to speak to what I see as a smear campaign against your harbor master. I've met your harbor master. I think he's a very honest gentleman, very sensitive to the needs of the community. He's got a tough job in front of him to protect the environment and be respectful of folks' ability to live and survive. And I think he should be supported. And if anyone wants to speak to his character in a negative fashion, that tells me they don't really know this gentleman. And so I support the resolutions, look forward to a timeline, and support your harbor master and your additional item on the agenda this evening that would provide him with some administrative support so you don't have all your fragile eggs in one basket and you're asking one guy to do the job that could take many to accomplish. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, please.
We have Richardson Bay Mariners. I'm asking you to unmute, and you have 3 minutes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. A little echo.
Okay. My name is Douglas Storms, and I'm a member of the Richardson Bay Special Anchorage Association, and there's about 30 people that we have here in front of the library. First of all, I'd like to say that we have a real problem with the Zoom, and it's very difficult to get through with us not being in a public setting and that we're not able to be there in person. And I understand about the coronavirus situation, but there's technical difficulties And so quite a few of the people were not able to hear the discussion previously in Curtis's report. So that's the first thing I'd like to say is that it's really hindering public input, and especially to the Mariners that are out there, it's difficult. Some of them don't have the communications equipment, et cetera, that's required. And so that should be taken into consideration. The second thing I'd like to say is that I'm a member of the Richardson Bay Special Anchorage Association, but there are other people here that are representing different interests. So I do not speak for everyone on the Anchorage, just there's a group. Some of us have gotten together over the last 5 years. So, and there are other people here that would like to speak on their behalf. Okay. The third thing is that I've had about 6 meetings with Curtis, and I appreciate his time. And he's been very gracious with his time. But we haven't been able to meet in person. We've had to, not all the time. When coronavirus hit, we weren't able to meet. And then when we were able to meet, it was by telephone. It's been challenging. Needless to say, it's been challenging for everyone. But what I've come up with since our last meeting and from the discussions that we've had is that there's a reason why he has only 8 people signed up out of the 100 people that are there. And there's a reason. Go ahead. Sorry. Oh,
I'm saving you. Ma'am? 1 minute left.
Say that again, ma'am.
You have 1 minute left. Yes.
Okay. Well, we're having, in the meetings that I'm having with him, there's certain issues that we bring up that we're not able to be solved. One is the situation with the legacy community. There's about 13 people out there that are not included in that count in the census. And there's no negotiation to get them as part of the community. They're here. They've lived here for years, but the sheriff failed to count them in the census. So that's a problem. Another problem is the vessels for the swap out program. That needs to be clarified, because people want to upgrade their vessels so they're seaworthy, et cetera, et cetera. It would be better to swap out a vessel than to spend $10,000 to bring it up to standards where you could buy a vessel for $5,000. So that is something that needs to be clarified. The problem though is that, we need, at this point, I would say that we're going to have mediation to resolve these issues. You have a policy that was approved, but the devil's in the detail, and working out the details of this, it's at an impasse. There's like 13 items, now there's 15 items, and I have not been able to make any progress, on there. There's no concession on these different subjects that I've brought up. And so I would suggest, to sum it up, is that we need to meet with Curtis and representatives of the Richardson Bay Regional Agency and representative from the anchor outs to deal with this real time. Because there's a reason why I'm meeting with him, because nobody else will meet with him. Repeat, nobody else will meet with him except for those 8 people or, you know, whoever he has signed up. But I talk to him because other people will not talk to him.
It's been 3 minutes.
Hey, Douglas. Yeah. You're over by a minute and a half. So I appreciate what you said. We'll bring it back. And thank you very much for your comments. And also for those individuals that don't have Zoom, you can call in. There's a phone number on the agenda, and just use your regular cell phone to listen to the meeting also. All right. Thank you very much, Douglas. Next person, please.
We have Robbie Powelson. I'm asking to unmute you, Robbie.
Yeah. Hey there. So I need to take a pause, because we actually do have like 30 people out here at Sausalito, and a lot of people can't get on. So after my 3 minutes, I want to make sure that I can pass it on to other people who'd like to speak, because, and we have multiple people. Oh, is that okay? Oh, and sounds like they're shutting us down.
No, go ahead. Robbie, go ahead. You got your 3
okay.
minutes. Go ahead.
That'll be fine. Okay, so basically, I just want to say that you guys need to be careful about having the disparity between what he says on the Bay compared to what we're seeing out here on the Bay is ridiculous. What I want to say right now is that we are going to hold you all accountable, because your power is in the sheriffs, it's in the laws, it's with your guns and your jails. And we have the voice of people, and we're going to bring that to you. And we're going to keep on bringing it to you, because we can't, October 15th is not going to be a new norm where you can just do whatever the hell you want. So I'm going to pass it on to my next person who would like to speak.
Thank you, Robbie.
He's an anchor out there.
Daryl?
All right. I'm not ready to say anything.
All right. Here, John Burke is speaking.
Hi, am I speaking to Curtis?
John, you're speaking to the board of directors for the RBRA, so go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you?
Good. You got 3 minutes, and I believe your name is John Burke. Okay.
Yes, it is. Okay, so I am John Burke from the Anchorage Settlement and the precinct of 031235C, and I speak for myself and the individual. And as my individual speaking, I would like to ask Curtis just a couple of questions. And I would like to actually have his log of his last 4 months presentable to the time of the boats, the survey, the what would you say, the due process was supposed to be given to those boats, the recycling process, the DMV handouts, and the what you did with Cal Fresh. And I'd like those statements available and financial statements available in 24 hours, Curtis, because you have a logbook.
Hey, John, okay.
No. We're sick of your shit, okay? So just have that available, okay? Because that's by law, okay? So don't, you know, just don't talk back. We're sick of it, okay?
No,
you come out there,
this
you
is
take,
the,
no, no,
this
no,
is
stop.
The, no, no, John, this is the
no,
chair
no, no.
of the board.
You don't understand. You guys got about 3 weeks, okay? So, Curtis, have that stuff available. I'll see you guys. I'll see you, Curtis. When you come out next time, buddy, you better have that logbook with every single boat and everything you did in due process, your survey, the DMV, everything.
Hey, all right. Next up. Next up. Jeff.
Hello, RBRA board. Richardson Bay Regional Authority, which started a while back to take this anchorage down. We are still here. You talked about threats that are coming from the water, especially about the environment. Everything that happens on land goes down. Rivers, gullies,
arms of the sea,
sewers, into the sea. We're Richardson's Bay. We accept new people here. We have new people here now. The 11 commandments, Moses only needed 10 of Curtis, are unconstitutional.
Backdoor.
They are impossible to follow. They are beyond the Coast Guard requirements, which is for every boat, including the ones at the marina, for $100. Every boat here is totally seaworthy. If you give a grant to all of the mariners here, instead of promises of housing, which have only come in the many moons that I have lived here under duress and right before death. It was good that happened for Pablo Chase and Roger Packer. I do not see now places to stay on shore that are ready for the people to inhabit. Promises do not work. Curtis, we are willing to have a dialogue of equals, not live under the gun anymore. Shalom, shalom. I hope you can understand our positions, and thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Daryl up next. Daryl up next.
Hi, I'm Daryl Anderson. I'm a mariner, Richardson Bay. I'm grandfathered in, and he's coming around taking boats and giving us 10-day notices and 3-day notices things like that when our boats are our houses, they're our life. And I don't understand how somebody can get away with doing this. But other than that, what is the plan on being able to be able to swap your boat out? If I got rid of my boat that is not hitting your bells and whistles, and I had one brought out here that does hit bells and whistles, is it going to be taken and crushed? If, I mean, he's taken legally documented, legally registered boats. One of mine that registered 2021, seaworthy, nothing wrong with it, and crushed it within the first 5 hours of having it at the dock. So where does that come on legal? I don't see it.
All right. Next up, we got Skip.
Hi, my name is Skip, and I'm a mariner on Richardson Bay. And I guess my main concern is, where are Curtis's credentials to come onto an international waterway and take boats? I mean, this is a sanctuary. It has been for how many years, Burke? Many years. Anyway, so if someone comes at us with the right credentials for international waterway, then that would be under the U.S. Constitution. So all this local law is not cutting it. And if you guys can come at us from a federal level, then maybe we'll listen more. But it just seems like you're out of jurisdiction in a sense. And it kind of seems like the RBRA is a vehicle for the rich to oppress poor people. I mean, you can't just sweep poor people under the carpet. That's the problem in this country. And there are homeless people out there, but I believe that it's not the problem that you guys may think it is. And I think you're coming at it from strictly an elitist financial aspect. And I think that that's the wrong approach. Thank you.
Hey, and up next is Peter Glazer.
Yeah, here you go. Hi, my name is Peter Glazer. I'm a mariner of Richardson Bay. I will say that I'm speaking for myself, though, other than those 8 people who have signed so far and any who choose to sign afterwards, I would say that most likely I'm speaking for most of us. We don't recognize the authority of the RBRA. This is a special federal anchorage, and it is not within the realm of their setting up special federal anchorages to give locals authority over it. Until that changes in Congress, we cannot recognize the authority of the RBRA over us. And therefore, do not expect too many people to sign up for the plan. All we really ask is that we be allowed to be out here, and we have been. We're a community and a settlement that has been out here since the late 50s, if not longer. We lost our longest standing member, who was here since 1957, 3 years ago, but many of us have been out here 20, 30 years or more. And yes, there are new people, but new people deserve to be out here too. And that's about all I've got to say. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Peter. Next, please.
Yep.
State your name.
There's Peter Romanowski.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now look, I'm in the queue. Can you hear me right now?
Yes, we can.
Let me get this straight. I'm already here. Doug, take this. I'm already in the queue.
Wait a minute. Am I muted or not?
Am I muted or not?
Now you can go on this one, or you do your own phone later.
Okay, no, I'll go on.
Okay, he's going now.
Okay, I'm going now. Okay, I'm going now. Can you hear me, everybody?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. I'm the storyteller of San Francisco Bay, and I have a story to tell. It's spiritual. My great grandfather came to San Francisco as a Lutheran missionary in the 1890s and established the Finnish Lutheran Mariners Church the Finnish Seamen's Mission in San Francisco, and then which went on to become a church. It's called St. Francis Church on Church Street in the Tenderloin. So my ancestry goes way back to working with the mariners. He specifically came here to reach the mariners of San Francisco Bay because most of them were Scandinavian and Finnish, and And so all of the Scandinavian countries sent missionaries. So I have inherited this mantle. In fact, I have been living on the Bay continuously longer than anybody on San Francisco Bay. And I have received no help from nobody except God Almighty and my Social Security and my ex-wife. And nobody's offered to take me home or even take a shower. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, for 36 some odd years, it seems, since 1984, you know, been out here in exile. Where are all you people? Who's going to help me? But you know what? I've signed up for HUD housing. And if I get some decent housing, yes, I'm willing to give up my title of being the longest surviving continuous anchor out on San Francisco Bay. But until that happens, just leave me alone, because I'm going to die out here. I'm going to live and die out here rent-free, tax-free for the rest of my life. Freedom, man. We're here. This is freedom. We're talking about freedom. No taxes, no insurance, no mooring fees. We're free. Do you understand this? This is the last free place left in the world. Oh, I better go. God bless.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, next up. Hey, you want to give him a test? Here you go. Here. You good? Okay. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? All right, guys. That's. Oh, wait, we have Dreamweaver. We have Dreamweaver.
Yeah, I'm Richard Dreamweaver. You know who I am. I live out here on the water. I just have one thing to say. And it's, you know, take it any way you want, but don't push me into a contract. You won't like me then.
Okay.
Nope. Okay. All right. We have another.
Who are we talking to?
This is the Richardson Bay Regional Agency.
And where are they located?
They're the people with. I know. Okay. All right. I guess we're done for today. All right. So again.
Okay, Robbie. Thank you very much for coordinating that, and I appreciate it. So do we have any other calls in the queue?
We do. We have Eva, then Charlene, then Sabrina.
Okay.
Eva, I'm asking to unmute you. And you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. It's Eva. And I apologize for my phone failure when you unmuted me previously. But thank you for getting me back on. I have to say that I definitely can understand why the Mariners are reluctant to come in. The housing situation on land, not just in the Bay, not just in Marin, not just in the Bay Area, but across the country, we really have a crisis of affordable housing. And so if the outreach to the Mariners is, we'll have some sort of housing for you, but they don't feel any certainty in that, if there's no sense that that's a good long-term deal, I think it's probably understandable that a lot of them would prefer to stay on their boats. So, you know, I think that needs to be really cemented that their housing will be solid. And I definitely question how that's going to be possible, given that, you know, we've been unable to house so many people who are, you know, all over the rest of Marin on land. So I think you really have to make an effort to explain to these individuals how this is going to work, because they have, you know, in the absence of a market economy that makes any place for them, they have taken on the burden of sheltering themselves. And I would say good for them. And many of them have done it with very little cost to the rest of society. The other thing I'd just like to point out is that for all the concern about pollution from the Mariners, and I don't think that these issues are non-existent, it is pretty obvious from any casual perusal of local media that the biggest polluter in the Bay has unfortunately been our local sewage systems, whether it's Mill Valley or Sausalito or Tiburon. We're seeing dumping of an absolutely outrageous amount of raw sewage directly into the bay. And this happens year after year after year. And the amounts are absolutely staggering. So I hope that we can have some sort of perspective on how much of a problem these mariners actually are in comparison to what's been reported in the news about, you know, proper institutions.
You got about 10 seconds.
Okay, Mr. Wickham. I'd just like to point out that you're smirking at these people who are just trying to get by is unacceptable in this forum. So thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Next,
please.
Charlene Eldon. I'm asking to unmute you, Charlene. And you have 3 minutes.
Hi, everyone. I'm really enjoying the luxury of 3 whole minutes to speak after getting used to the Marin County 1 minute that Katie Rice has been implementing. I'd like to echo the messages about constitutional rights and how people are allowed to be living there. So everything else here is just sort of white suppressor pageantry, if I may be. Oh, is someone else still unmuted? All right.
No, go ahead.
I'm seeing a lot of bullying here, and I understand that this is a wealthy community. I understand that there are a lot of people who really don't like that there are people living on the bay. But the fact is, there's nothing we can do about it, ultimately. And playing these games with people's lives is just inhumane. And this is happening during a pandemic and during these wildfires. I'm not there right now, but I've seen the sky. It's orange, and you're still playing this game of crushing people's homes. Who gets to live where? I'm at a point where, election or no, this feels like the real end of an era of white supremacy. And one of the things that is part of white supremacy is this idea that we have the power over people's right to life. And this is true for the communities of color here as well. We don't have this power. This is an illusion. This is all an illusion of power. And we have to give it up because there are people really suffering in that community. Sausalito is just part of that. The Latinx community is dying of COVID. We need to learn to share, and we need to learn to live and let live in that community. Really badly. And I say this out of fear of violent retaliation at this point. And I want you to all think about that seriously. People do not stay oppressed. They will not stay down. You keep terrorizing these communities of color. You keep terrorizing these homeless people. Well,
yep, 30 seconds.
Okay. Just tell people when they're done. How about you don't interrupt, please? Thank you. You're telling these people, I can't believe the audacity of it when we should have all been confronting our mortality instead of getting further away from it and our humanity. This is not the time to be kicking people out of their homes. I am a disabled adult, and if it weren't for my white privilege and my family's financial help, I would be homeless. That's why I keep showing up to these meetings. That's why I care about people.
All right, your 3 minutes are up. Thank you very much.
Next, we have Sabrina S. Sabrina, I'm going to unmute you. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having this discussion. I've been in Marin my whole life. This is a newer issue that I've been introduced to. And I really value Charlene's input and Eva's input and everyone else's input, the mariners that are in the bay and Robbie's and everyone's. I mean, Mr. Havel, I don't know you on a personal level. You know, I just know what I hear in the streets. And what I do know is that from what I've heard, what I'm feeling is similar to what Charlene is saying. It's like, where the fuck is everyone's humanity? You know, like these are people's lives. People are living on boats and I'm hearing that you give them 3 days to go somewhere. And if you don't, you ruin their homes where they live, where they sleep, where they eat. I don't get it. And I don't understand, how anyone can go to bed at night feeling okay after having done that to someone. Charlene's so right. This whole, all of our systems, they're just illusions of power. You're an individual. If you were on a boat out there, Mr. Havel, living your life, or Mr. Wickham, or whoever's on this call, we would be fighting for you too. For your home not to be ruined. For you not to be forced to be homeless. Please, please, please sit with that at night and think about that when you make these decisions that really do put people in grave situations that will make them desperate. And like Charlene said, people don't stay oppressed. Things are going to get worse if you contribute to making them worse. And that goes for everybody. Anyway, I hope you all are safe and well during this time, staying hydrated. You have your masks and everything you need to stay happy and well and feeling liberated. And I hope you can offer that to other people if you do have all of those things. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabrina. Next, please.
We have Elias. I'm going to ask to unmute you. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Elias. I want to support the anchor outs, and I echo everything that the people before me have been saying in support of the Anchor Out community. I really think that the decision makers here, people who are listening, who have the power to decide whether to allow these people to live a more or less normal life or force them to give up their homes, which they've been living in for years, consider the damage that they're doing to those people's lives, the power that they have to do extreme damage to those people's lives by forcing them out of their homes and putting them in a situation where they're going to be dependent on very scant social services that we all know don't provide enough for people to live. I work with somebody who is on social services right now, who is elderly, looking for elder housing. The cost of elder housing in Marin County is around $1,000, and her social security check is $1,200 a month. That leaves her with $200 to eat. And the people who are anchoring out, they know. They know this. What you're offering them is bullshit. It's not going to be enough to survive. They know that. And so for the decision makers here, the people who have the capacity to not let this happen, to not ruin people's lives, you need to think about that. You need to think about, you're going to be putting somebody in a place where they don't necessarily want to live, and they're not going to have enough money to survive. You're going to have blood on your hands when those people die deaths of despair, which is now becoming so common in the United States, because our conditions that the government provides for us when we can't take care of ourselves are absolutely atrocious. I see you nodding your head, Kate Rice, and I appreciate that.
That's not my name.
Kate Sears.
Thank you.
I'm an environmental scientist by training, and I'm hearing that environmentalism is the reason that you guys are getting rid of these houses. Okay, I did my PhD work at USC, and I studied bays in particular. These anchor outs pose such a minuscule risk to the environment of the bay that it's just ridiculous that this is being used to cover up elitist bullying. Okay. There are so many other things. For example, flooding. For example, what the person before me talked about, raw sewage being dumped into the bay.
Elliot, it's 3 minutes, buddy.
Okay, thank you. I hope
thank you very much.
What I said. And my name.
Next, please.
Have Rin. I'm going to unmute you. You have 3 minutes.
Hi. Thanks so much. I don't have a lot to add. I just really feel the need to amplify everyone who's spoken before me. I couldn't have said it better, and I appreciate, I'm so thankful to all of you for doing that research and for talking here, and sharing the facts, and just this concept of humanity being lost, I think is a really, really excellent point. And I know that's happening everywhere, but it's really sad to hear about this, and it's sad to see that you all can sit here, and me as well, I have a lot of privilege, but that we can sit here and make decisions that impact people's lives who have so much less privilege than us. And I really hope that you all take this time to reflect on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have a phone call, a phone number 427-2347. I'm going to unmute you, and you have 3 minutes. I'm asking to unmute you. We'll come back.
Somebody's muted.
You have 3 minutes. Please say your name. Hello?
Yes. My name is Yuki Johnson. I lived in a Sausalito for almost a half a century. And I have been a sailor since I was very little. And I am from Japan. And I watch everybody. And I listen to almost everybody also. And to me, it's only one way the situation is occurring in a daily basis. There should be more amicable communication in between two parties or three parties or whatever the party we have. And if all uncut people cannot meet to negotiate and to communicate like a real democratic world, then I am thinking about organizing class action. And I do have about almost 50 people signed up to do that. And of course, this is conditional. If your authority people is not willing to discuss with us, you know, then we gotta have to take those actions. And it's gonna be cost. It's going to be timely manner too. It's not going to get anything done that quick. But you guys are putting us in a corner that we don't have that much choice. And that's what I have to say.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have two more. We have Casey Arndt. I'm going to unmute you. And you have 3 minutes. I'm asking to unmute you. I apologize.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the board and Mr. Havel. And, you know, thank you also to all the Mariners that have shared today. My name is Casey Arndt, and I'm the Center Director for the Richardson Bay Audubon Center and Sanctuary, which is a field office of Audubon, California. As always, I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak today and would like to continue to offer Audubon's conservation expertise and opinions on the transition plan. Audubon, California does agree with much of and supports the detailed plan and the report from today. We would, however, still like to see a sunset date for legacy mariners included in the plan. We think this would kind of have the dual effect of encouraging mariners to apply for the Safe and Seaworthy program since they know of an end date, as well as provide conservation organizations such as ours peace of mind. I would also be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to continue to encourage RBRA to consider COVID-19 and its impacts on the mariner community. We ask RBRA to ensure that the individuals that are living out in the Bay are treated with respect and dignity. Audubon California is, of course, immeasurably supportive of the eelgrass management plan, as well as their engagement with Coastal Policy Solutions to coordinate these efforts. You know, as a stakeholder and a conservation organization in Richardson Bay, we have expertise in this area, and we'd like to continue to offer our assistance as needed, and we look forward to collaborating with Rebecca and Coastal Policy Solutions. And finally today, Audubon California does greatly appreciate all the details that are provided in the Safe and Seaworthy program for legacy mariners, as well as the coordinated and continued outreach to the folks living out there. And we will continue to support these outreach efforts, and as soon as we're able, provide our boat to help get social services workers out onto the bay to have conversations with the folks that are living out there. Thank you for the opportunity to share today.
Thank you, Casey.
Next, we have Barbara. Barbara, I'm asking to unmute you, and you have 3 minutes.
Me?
Go right ahead.
Okay. My name is Barbara Saltzman, and I'm representing Marin Audubon Society, as I have been for probably 35, 40 years on this issue, as many of you know. And I first like to say that I was stuck with the phone for half an hour, but fortunately I had read Curtis's good report, and because I really didn't need to see his presentation. I think he's done an excellent job, and I realize this is a very tense and difficult and emotional situation, but I would like to just say some positive things about Curtis. I've known him a long time. I think he's a very, he's certainly a very honest and reputable and a person, and I think that, well, we're lucky to have him in this job, I would have to say. We, of course, support protecting the Bay. I would like to speak on behalf of the Bay because that's what the issue is here. Whether there are impacts on the Bay from other sources simply means that this is one more a collection of impacts to putting together with all of the other impacts that make the Bay much more vulnerable and impacted than it should be, than it needs to be. That this Bay belongs to all of us, and it needs to be a healthy one. We would like to urge you to continue your good efforts to help the anchor outs who want to get out of the Bay. And I think it's admirable what Sausalito's done and what you're beginning to do so far. Clearly there's some real problems out there, and I hope you don't give in to them. I hope that you remain strong and begin and continue your good beginning efforts to help the people that live there. I would also like to emphasize the need to pay attention to what BCDC is asking. They have urged, and that's the one deficiency in Curtis's report, that you are being required, as far as I can see, to put a 5-year limit, and I think that you need to move ahead quickly and do that, and as long with continuing your good efforts to protect the people that are living there now. Thanks.
Thank you, Barbara.
Logan. Logan, I'm unmuting you. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. Hi. I have not read the plans that you guys have, so I feel a little bit uninformed. I'm an investigator, work for the Public Defender's Office, and I have had a lot of dealings with the Anchor Out community. Also, I've had friends in the Anchor Out community since the 1980s. I'm aware of some of the problems that go on, but I do think that expecting the people that I've known that have lived there to all just go to some random housing situation you set up for them, I'm not sure what the housing plan is, doesn't sound very practical. A lot of the people that I've known who are out there are just living a different lifestyle than what the rest of the people like yourselves may be living. And would not be happy or fit into some of the housings that you might try to shove them into. So it doesn't seem like it would actually work. I don't understand why they have to be gotten rid of altogether. I hope that seaworthy program is something where you actually help some of the people stay, but it sounds like you're actually trying to get rid of all the anchor outs in Richardson Bay, which have been there for, you know, so as long as I've been in Marin County. I just don't see why that needs to happen. As many people have mentioned, their impact on the Bay is much less. It's always very hypocritical when people who have a lot of money and who have, in many cases, massive collective negative impact on the environment, pick on the weaker and the poor and the people who don't have the ability to live better or make the changes. They're living the best that they can. You could help them. It'd be great if we had programs to help them. Provided more, I'm not sure what to do about the sewage problem, the toilet problem with the anchor outs. But, rather than just trying to get rid of that community, it seems like there'd be a way to maybe facilitate allowing people who meet certain criteria to stay and to help them to get to that point. They've been there for so long. I just don't get it. And it does seem to me that Marin really likes to just move people along and out of Marin and not deal with the problem, which if you look around the Bay Area, Marin's got it pretty light, man. There is huge homeless impacts going way worse in other communities. And we don't address them in a really productive way in this community, even though we're really, really rich. So I think that it would be nice if people could try to come together with some kind of plan other than just move people out, get them out of here. We don't want to see them. They're, you know, a bane of our existence or whatever. Be more productive. And I don't think you're going to be able to get rid of them. It would be a definite. I can't imagine the how cruel it would be to move people off those boats that have lived there for so long and then just destroy their boats. And offering.
Okay. And Logan, your 3 minutes is up, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Next, please.
Luca is next. I'm unmuting you, Luca.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
You can hear me? Okay, great. I've been in enough Zoom meetings now that I don't feel like there's much of a point in appealing to your humanity anymore, although I'm really grateful to the people who have done that because I think they had a lot of really important and poignant things to say. I just feel like it was really painful to hear Curtis talk about how he's trying to help these people as if that's like the goal here is to help them when it's so clearly not. They're obviously not all going to get into housing. I mean, we have homeless people on the streets right now. We should frankly be grateful that in this time of COVID and environmental crisis that we have, that these anchor outs have a place to stay. We need more people sheltered and, you know, obviously just making an effort or saying you're going to make an effort more like is not going to get these people into housing. I firmly, firmly do not believe that all these people are going to end up in housing, not even the ones that, you know, self-advocate for themselves. And I really urge everybody else in the community who's listening, and especially the Audubon people who, you know, my heart goes out for you. I care about the environment too, but you just cannot believe that these people, when they say that they are trying to help the anchor outs, because if they wanted to help the anchor outs, they would be giving the anchor outs the means to help themselves. They would be giving them safe places to dispose of waste. They would be fixing their boats or buying them new boats. Again, that could even be cheaper. These are members of our community, and if they really wanted to help them, they would not be trying to force them out. There's no empathy there, and they're going to try and lie to you and say that there is empathy, and there just is not. And we really have to stand up for these people who just can't always stand up for themselves. Thank you. I'll see the rest of my time.
Thank you, Luca.
Next, we have Zeta. I'm unmuting you, Zeta. You have 3 minutes.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who's spoken before me, the Mariners, and everyone else who's in support of them. I think everybody has spoken extremely well and beautifully, especially Luca, who brings up a fantastic point that we currently do have a lot of homeless people in our community, and they aren't getting the assistance that they need. So these promises of a transition into assisted housing seems very empty to me. My name is Zeta Jackson Mays. I am a former foster youth who has experienced homelessness for several years during the 2008 financial crisis as a child. that housing assistance, even for a mother and child, is an incredibly difficult process. My experiences have been extremely difficult, but I cannot imagine the immense difficulties with being homeless during a global pandemic that isn't taken seriously by our government, a Great Depression that is going to evict an estimated 40 million Americans without any safety nets, and while our West Coast is on fire, displacing even more people and corrupting our air quality. Your actions to displace these people are harmful, violent, and careless. We will not let these people become statistics. We will not let you break up a community, and we will not stand to let lives be ruined by your empty promises and humanity. It sickens me that there continues to be elitist rhetoric putting blame of pollution and waste onto the bay on a small handful of individuals rather than acknowledging and putting efforts towards fixing a system that is causing massively more pollution in a short amount of time than a small community could do in several lifetimes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
We have a phone number, 235-3789. I'm unmuting you. You have 3 minutes. I'm asking to unmute you, 235-3789. We'll move on. We have another phone number, 415-756-9929. I'm asking to unmute you. I'm not sure.
Hello.
Who's Rob?
Yes, this is George. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, this is George. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, who's George? Where's George?
Right here. Okay. Yes. I'm anchored out, and I had a 22-foot sailboat, and I wanted to upgrade it, and I went up to the Delta. And I found a real nice 32-foot, and we brought it down. And we bought it in the Richardson Bay. And this is for Curtis, okay? We got it down there around midnight, and the next morning we couldn't find it. And it happened to be crushed. And you can tell Curtis, I appreciate it, if you can write me a check for $6,000, because that's the money I lost on it. Are you still there?
Oh, go ahead, George.
Yeah, all right, thank you. So, you know, I'm just pleased with that. And nobody's going to reimburse me. And I just like to say I'm disabled. I spent 15 years with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and now I have to live on a boat because I'm disabled, okay? I look in Sausalito here now, and I don't see any tourism. I don't see bicycle riders. And yet we have a virus. And at this point, eventually, it'll come back to normal when, soon we hope. And I notice the tourists, they sit on benches and they look out in the water to all our people that are anchored out. And they go, wow, what a great life they live. Okay? And, well, it's sad because what we're going through right now, you know, with the federal waters and you folks, and to try to take away boats and crush them. I look at it this way, that to help out all of us people here, I like to bring in, when the weather gets better and we have more tourism, maybe 150 Teamsters, and we'll throw pickets up inside the town of Salido, Sausalito, and, you know, get their response. But, it's something that we live for. And I understand we want a clean environment out here, and we're trying our best, but it seems like we're just getting pressured and pressured and pressured. But I do thank you for your time. And if you do see Curtis, see if you can write me a check. I appreciate it. Hello, are you still there? Hello? Hi.
Thank you.
Hello? Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
Representative Wickham?
Small claims court, man.
Hello?
Yeah, 3 minutes are up.
Yeah, no, there's another individual that needs to talk.
Okay, go ahead.
Mark, it's Robert Rohr.
Hello. The BCDC amended their contract with Galilee and executed the removal of the last public dock at 300 Napa Street on April 21st and 22nd of 2020. That violates the right of every citizen in the state who is entitled to have free access to the public trust lands and waters, especially at 300 Napa Street, where it's on a public easement. They've erected illegal signage, and I'm urging anyone here that isn't at this meeting to file a claim for damages in the amount of $400,000 for the 16 separate incidents and violations over 2 days of the Bain Civil Rights Act. When you violate the U.S. Constitution, the California Constitution, SB 525, and estate lands 350, 351, and 352, you're liable for lawsuits under the Bain Civil Rights Act. I note that Ms. Sears is a member of the BCDC and the RVRA, and that she went along with the change of the contract. So you might even want to mention her personally. Anyway, you have until maybe the 15th of this month to file those claims, kids, because after that, you cannot file a lawsuit against a public agency if you haven't made the claim, which will be rejected. And after the rejection letter arrives, mine arrived a few days ago, you have 6 months to file the complaint.
Okay, sir, your 3 minutes is almost up, but we're also on item number four on the transition plan. So if you have other comments on that, you have 40 seconds.
I appreciate the union, brother. We need solidarity on our side. You've got the cops. You've got the billionaires all looking down on us with their telescopes. I note that Joe Biden had a $100,000 ticket fundraiser with one of my neighbors, but I wasn't invited.
Okay, thank you very much. Your 3 minutes is up. I appreciate it. Next, please.
We have one more phone call, 575. Oh, I apologize. That's who was just on the call. We have no other hands risen.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll close open public time on item number four. So there's a Curtis gave us a pretty good report. Very good report, Curtis. We got some good feedback from the community. There's some topics here. Any board members have any follow-up questions? Kate, comments?
No, but I don't know if Curtis might want to address some of the issues brought up.
Okay, we'll start with Curtis. Curtis, you have any issues here you want to address?
Sure. Let me start with, well, I'll just kind of go in the order of how I heard things. Mr. Storms mentioned that there was 13 people missed in the census. In my conversations with him, he mentioned two people. So I don't, you know, to miss 13 vessels would be pretty extraordinary. And note that the census was based on vessels, not on people. Because that's really, if you look at the basis of the program, it's about vessels in the bay. There were some questions about the swap out part of the program. So there is a provision that says that in limited instances, someone could apply to swap out their vessel for a more seaworthy boat. And that was put into the Safe and Seaworthy program as, you know, with the intention of, you know, in very limited instances, if somebody came in with a seaworthy registered operational vessel that really would be appropriate to put into a marina, if they wanted to trade that out for their existing vessel, it would be a conversation to be had, a question to be made. The challenge with that prospect is that really if somebody's going to bring in a vessel, it needs to be seaworthy. It needs to be operable. The way the Safe and Seaworthy program was designed is that the listing, the checklist that we are going to be going through when we do inspections on vessels, that's nothing extraordinary. It's nothing that's remarkable or unheard of. If you are a responsible mariner, it is incumbent upon that person to maintain their vessel. So keep the engine running, keep the bilge pumps working, make sure you can actually steer the boat. It has a helm. You know, so you have to have propulsion. You have to have steerage. There needs to be self-contained sewage tanks in the boat. These are all basic things for vessel owners. So the idea of bringing in a new vessel, you know, frankly, the likelihood of that happening is pretty slim. Somebody would have to show up with it. Essentially a vessel that's insurable and something that would be ready to put into a marina. And then there's also the issue of who pays for disposal of the old vessel. You know, I'd like to think that if somebody's proposing to bring in a new vessel, they're going to take responsibility for their old vessel and pay for the disposal of that vessel. So again, this is a question that I think would be answered and really explored once the Safe and Seaworthy, once we've got people enrolled in the Safe and Seaworthy program and somebody actually presents that issue and says, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing, rather than just showing up in the anchorage with a vessel that's new to the anchorage and expecting to have it approved. There was one speaker who mentioned that there's new people on vessels. Something that a number of speakers brought up was that that folks living in the anchorage should just be left alone and continue to live there. I'd like to comment that the Richardson's Bay anchorage is an anchorage. It's a 72-hour anchorage. The question of jurisdiction was settled way back in the early 90s with the United States Coast Guard and the federal government. So when a vessel arrives in the anchorage, the idea of an anchorage is that it's a transitory place. It's a place where you can stop, rest for a couple of days, then move on. It is not a residential development. It's not intended or designed to be used as a residential place. So with that in mind, I think if you come at it from that perspective, you should, because it is an anchorage, we're not talking about houses, and we're not talking about pulling people from their houses. What we're talking about with the Safe and Seaworthy program is setting some clear expectations so that folks who are out in the anchorage understand what it takes to make their vessel seaworthy, and hopefully get their vessel to a point where it is operable, where they don't need to call 911 if their vessel goes adrift in the middle of the night. They can simply start up their engine, retrieve their anchor, and go somewhere safe. That's the responsibility of owning and living on a vessel. It's not an issue of have and have not. It, you know, frankly, my sincere desire is that folks do make their vessels seaworthy and safe. And that what that means is it's safe for them, number one, and it's safe for the people around them, so that the folks who are anchored out next to them know that their neighbor isn't a threat to them, you know, God forbid if their vessel should go adrift. There's no promise of housing. There's a few speakers that mentioned that. The Safe and Seaworthy program talks about encouraging and seeking and supporting housing for folks. And we're working very hard in that direction. I'm quite well aware of the challenges associated with trying to house people, particularly in Marin County. But there's no promise there. It's really an effort, and it's an encouragement. And I think it's worth noting that we've been working with Senator Mike McGuire to try to secure funding for additional housing. And granted, that's housing that would apply for everyone in Marin County, not just the Anchorage. But I think it's worth pursuing. And that's what the plan says, is let's pursue it. Let's support it. Let's encourage it. It is not a promise. The one speaker mentioned something about bringing a boat into the Anchorage and then it disappeared. I'm not aware of any boats that showed up at midnight and then were gone by dawn. I certainly didn't take any boats. There is a process that we follow when a boat is, going through some sort of an enforcement process. So this notion that boats are disposed of instantly and people are being displaced from their boats simply isn't true. The vessels that were removed from the Anchorage since July of 2019 were unoccupied marine debris vessels. At no point did I or my staff remove people forcibly from their vessels. The vessels that we did dispose of were vessels that were inoperable and unseaworthy. And for folks who were commenting about, have a heart and, where's your humanity? I'd like you to know that I do take your comments seriously. And as a fellow sailor myself, I do believe it's incumbent upon someone who steps foot on a vessel to take responsibility for their vessel and keep it safe and keep it seaworthy, because that in and of itself is a compassionate act. That means you're taking care of the vessel, you're taking care of yourself, and you're not a threat to those around you. You're not a threat to the environment. This idea that, Richardson's Bay is an anchorage, it's not a marina. So it's not like I'm a landlord or that the Richardson's Bay Regional Agency is a landlord. The folks in the Anchorage aren't our tenants. The idea here really is to try, the intent behind the Safe and Seaworthy program was to clarify expectations and really help people achieve seaworthy vessels. When we started doing our kind of outreach into the Anchorage, back in July of 2019, there was roughly 190 boats out there, and approximately 100 of those were occupied. So that means there was 90 unoccupied vessels. That means those are 90 opportunities for vessels to go adrift and cause danger to others. And that's a problem. And that's something we're working to try to address. Last year during the storm season, we had over 50 vessels go adrift. And to me, that's unacceptable, because those vessels are going to hurt someone, and they're going to hurt the environment. And that, frankly, I can appreciate people's concerns about, not impacting someone's housing. This isn't about just moving people along. This is about making sure that the folks that are on boats in the Anchorage are upholding their end of the bargain and making sure they've got a seaworthy vessel, so that our fire department or sheriffs or whoever the first responder is going to be isn't out at 3 a.m. making a rescue call. I don't want to see that happen to anybody. So anyways, that's how I wanted to respond. If your board has any questions about particulars, please let me know.
Thank you, Curtis. Okay, I'll go back to Kate. Do you have any questions now?
No, I don't have any questions, but Curtis, I appreciate your comments, and I also really want to appreciate everyone who has spoken this evening. Many of your comments, I think, were very moving and really recognize some of the challenges on the water. You know, one of the things that has been, I think, sort of front and center in all of our minds over the many years that we have been talking about these issues is the importance of safety for people who live on the water, and the increasing number of folks who are living on boats who are not mariners and don't have mariner skills. And that really puts people in jeopardy. And that's been something that I think all of us on this board have been very concerned about. And so from my perspective, that's one of the reasons that we really have given a lot of thought to the Safe and Seaworthy program, to try to address the safety of people living on the water. And obviously there's the safety issues caused by boats that go adrift in winter storms. So I think the safety piece of this is something that's very important, and recognizing the vulnerability of people on the water and the complexity of trying to protect and make that world safe for everyone and mitigate some of the environmental impacts so that we are really helping the environment and the people on the water and the people on land. So, thank you.
David, you have any comments or questions?
No, I don't. Thank you, Curtis, for a comprehensive review there, and well said, Kate.
And Claire, welcome to your first board meeting. Do you have any questions or comments to Curtis or?
No, I salute Curtis and this board for the very hard work that's been going on for a long time. This is a many-year problem for everybody, and I'm very glad to see the progress that's being made. You know, in Belvedere, the residents of West Shore have been affected quite a bit by the boats that come over during storms and hit the homes and residences along West Shore, and the boats come up on the water during storm, on the beaches during storms as well. So I'm very glad that we have Curtis to go along with the intentions of the transition plan, and I stand behind them. And Belvedere is ready to be of any help that we can. And thank you very much for your hard work.
Great. And Curtis, I mean, this plan has taken us about 5 years to, after a lot of outreach. And I know COVID-19 right now is really tough on all of us. And Kate and I used to have coffees with the mariners, and we worked together on this transition plan, and we've gotten to the point now where we need to take action. And Curtis, I think you're the right choice for this. You are in a very tough position balancing a lot of issues. So like I mentioned to you before, use common sense as we move forward with this whole process. And I look forward to the time where COVID-19 is behind us and we could meet face-to-face and move forward. And thank you very much for the comments from our audience today on this transition plan. We do hear you guys, and we're doing our best that we can under these circumstances to address a lot of these issues. So great job, Curtis. Okay, island number 5. So this is now open time for public expression. Obviously, we just went through a lot of comments on the transition plan. Anyone from the audience who would like to talk about a topic related to the RVRA, you can call in, or you have 3 minutes. And do we have anyone in the audience who would like to express any opinion?
We have two hands raised. Both have spoken before.
Because it's open private time, we can speak again.
We have Eva. I'm unmuting you.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks so much. This is Eva, and I wanted to respond to a couple things. First of all, Mr. Havel, I appreciate you're in a difficult position. You stated just now that this isn't an issue of have and have not. And it does seem kind of a ridiculous statement. And I don't mean that to cause you offense, but just to point out that we saw the condition of the Mariners, and we can see the value of your homes because they're all listed. Everyone here on this RVRA is far better off than the Mariners. So to posit it as it's not an issue of have and have not, these people have very few political rights or very few legal rights because they have very little money. So I wish you would avoid kind of stepping in it in that sense. As for Barbara Saltzman's comments that the anchor outs are creating this huge pollution problem and any amount of pollution is unconscionable. I agree that these issues should be addressed and they are addressable with regard to the Mariners. But I would point out that, in February of 08, Mill Valley spilled 2.7 million gallons of raw sewage into the bay. February of 2009, 500,000 gallons in Sausalito. November 2013, 53,000 gallons in Sausalito. Marin overall from 2018 to 2019 spewed 362,000 gallons into the bay. So obviously there is an issue of severity. And the fines against these municipalities, there's sanitary districts were piddling indeed. So it is pretty obvious that there's undue punishment on the poor. And it's something that I think Barbara Saltzman's group does a lot of work that I actually respect and support, but I wish she would think a little more carefully about how she presents herself, because it is very clear to the younger generations that this is absurd. And I really would ask you to think about all the young people who called in, because there is a huge generational difference in terms of economic security. And I think what you're hearing from a lot of young people calling in to all these municipalities and county meetings is they feel the plight of the poor very acutely. And whether it is how you feel or not, the way the RVRA sometimes presents itself, and I think KTRS has been much more sensitive in this regard and much more, outreaching. But, you know, it is pretty tone deaf. So I would ask the good people of Marin to think about the generational differences in economic security and the sort of revolt that the bad behavior of the people in power is engendering, because we need to work together. And when you say ridiculous things, when the new person, Claire, says that
your 3 minutes is up now.
Okay, if I could just finish just one thing.
I didn't give you a warning, so you said not to.
No, that's another woman. I am not that person who said don't give me a warning. It's disappointing to me that you confused us, because we're quite different people. But I would say that I think it's Ms. Claire. Pointed out that the homeowners in Belvedere are suffering when these boats crash up against the shore. And I would just ask her to reconsider positing it that way, because to younger generations, it's absolutely absurd. And I don't mean offense, but please consider how absurd it looks. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have phone call 235-3789. I'm unmuting you. You have 3 minutes.
Hello?
We can hear
you.
Go right ahead.
Yes. Yes, my name is Douglas Storms. I was the first speaker to speak on behalf of the Richardson Bay Special Anchorage Association. And I was kind of sad because I didn't have the time to express. Normally we have more time to get into the details. I am saddened that the board members on the RVRA, what we're dealing with is that the communication has been cut off. You need to hear what I'm saying. There is no communication. Houston, we have a problem. Okay, and the problem is that I have met with Curtis because other people refused to meet with him, and I have not, and I've brought up 13 separate subjects, and there is no mediation. There's no, what he is telling you is not what he told me. And so you can say Curtis is doing a great job, but what I'm saying is, Houston, we got a problem, and we need to get together and talk, the community, the maritime community, Curtis, and representatives from the board. If you choose not to take part in that, then know that legal action is already in process. That's been processed. Legal action is going to be taken, but trust me, I was involved with the RVRA before. I spent 7 years. It went all the way to the 9th District Court, and I have to say that it's much more, we do not want to get bogged down in the legal, and there's no reason why we have to do that if we can come together and to discuss. But at this point in time, I appealed previously to Beth Pollard, okay? But I have no one to appeal to. We have no one to appeal to except the representatives of the board. So Kate and Mark, it was great for those coffees. It was awesome. It was great. People were heard. We were behind it. But we cannot, the reason why we weren't able to complete the safe, the Burgee system is because when you're under duress, it's very hard to move forward. So we just need to work through this. I know that we can, but the people here, the mariners, they want to do what's right, but they're up against the wall. And somehow there's a logjam that we need to break through. And so we need to, let's come together and reason, and let's talk and work through this. You know, I think that's really, really important. And I do appreciate the time with Curtis. I'm sorry, I don't mean to slam you. And I do want to meet with you next week because we still have issues to talk about, you know, to work through. But I think at this time we need to bring in other people and really just sit down over coffee, talk about these items one by one, because we're talking about people out there, mariners, all different kinds of people. And you can't stereotype. Not, trust me, after 32 years of being here, not everybody's the same. You know, they each have their needs and their desires. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Keep up the good work, buddy. Thank you.
It's Jim.
Thanks for the board, too.
We have...
Is there anyone else?
There are. We have Robbie Powelson. I'm unmuting you. You have 3 minutes.
It's me.
Right ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I'm on. Yeah, I just... Basically, what I want to come up and say is that... you need to understand that in this issue that we're having on Richardson Bay, I think one of the reasons you guys are misguided and don't see the error of your ways is that the Richardson Bay Regional Agency was made to fix something, and fix a problem, but when the problem wasn't even people living on the bay. The real problem is housing segregation in Marin County. The real problem is police violence in Marin and across the United States. That's the real issue. The issue is the inequities in our community. And right now, you're all fixated on the singular goal of achieving some idyllic status for Richardson Bay, when in fact, it's not people living out on the bay that are the problem. It's your city councils that are the problem. It's you all in your elected capacities who are the problem, who are making racist, segregated, classist housing policies, who are setting the stage for these communities and for this inequity that we see. And then you're blaming other people for the problems you create. That's basically what it is. You're blaming people living on the Anchorage for your discrimination, for your inequity. And sir, you want to speak next?
No.
Okay. Well, I think that's all we have for me. All right.
Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else?
We have one more. We have Zeta. I'm unmuting you. He disappeared. So that is everyone.
Okay. We'll go on to item number 6, reports, comments, staff updates, board member matters. Curtis, do you have any?
Yeah, I do have a few announcements. There is, I want to first announce that there is a berth available at Galilee Harbor. So I was contacted by Harbor Master there, and they said, just a quick rundown, the owner must have title and registration for the boat, and they have to have proof that the vessel was present in Richardson's Bay before September 30th, 1983. So that seems like a challenging thing to prove, but this would be it's for low-income folks only. The applicant must be actively engaged in marine service work. So anyways, for folks who are interested and think they might qualify, check out the Galilee website. If you go to galileeharbor.org, you can get more information. There is going to be free COVID testing at Marin Ship Park next to the mobile showers. And that's Friday, September 11th, so that's tomorrow. And Friday, September 18th, I don't know if this works or not, but I'll be passing some of these out in the Anchorage tomorrow to folks who want them. But, you know, just as a quick note, the 11th and the 18th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the showers next to Marin Ship Park. And then finally, just a quick update on staffing. Hopefully we will be we'll be advertising for the assistant harbor master position, full-time spot. I think the advertisement should be going out on Wednesday is the last I heard from HR. So we'll be getting that underway. That'll be, I believe, a two-week noticing period. So folks will have a couple of weeks to get their name in for, you know, if they're interested in applying for the assistant harbor master job. You can go to marincounty.org for more information if you go to their HR webpage, jobs available webpage. And that's what I have. Thanks.
Okay. Any board members have any matters they want to bring? All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll second. Okay.
Do a roll call there, Curtis. Okay, we'll call it a day.
Just declare us adjourned.
Yeah, we're adjourned here. Thank you very much, guys. We'll stay in touch. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.